All right, good morning, hello. High five three people around you and let them know that you're thankful that they are here. And if you don't let them know that you're thankful they're here, high five. Everybody online watching, high five. I'm double tapping. We're making it happen. What a day. God is faithful. Hey, I can't believe we get to do this. I think that's one of the things that Jesus has been reminding me of here recently. Before long, I'm going to tell you, I didn't do it this week, but I'm ready. So be prepared. If you ever get to come back here, you're probably going to see a small sign back here. It's a reminder to me that Jesus has put me this week to say, can you believe we get to do this? I know so many times we have obstacles in the way, and so many times the enemy tries to get out of it, get to us, but today more than ever, as we get to talk about God's favor, I'm reminded, can you believe we get to do this? And the country that we get to live in. I'm so thankful that we get to do this. And there may be a Friday Night Lights quote on there, you know, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose kind of thing. Don't worry about that, but that is what it is. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm so thankful for today. I know, once again, we could have had a million obstacles in the way, but I'm so thankful that we had awesome worship. We've got a time where we're going to lift Jesus' name high. And you know what? If that's all we do today, that's enough. I'm so thankful for that. So today, as we've been talking about this series, we started last week, Seven Cries from the Cross. And so many times during Holy Week, a lot of times, we talk about the last seven things that Jesus said on the cross. And so you're used to probably hearing that over the entire Holy Week, but we're spreading it out over a few weeks. And last week, we started out talking about the first thing that Jesus said on the cross, and that was forgive. Well, today we're going to be talking about this second thing called favor. Favor. We're going to be talking about this thing called favor. So, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get in it to Luke 23. If you don't have a Bible, we have some free for the asking. Or if you like to do things digitally, what's really, really cool is each and every week we partner with a Bible app and we have events on there where you can not only follow along with us with Scripture, but you can have our contact information, ways that we can serve you or pray for you, but also a place that you can take notes. So I'm going to show you how to do that really quickly on your phone. If you've got your phone and you have the Bible app, download the Bible app from your favorite app store. Go ahead and click that and open it up. Click the More tab down at the bottom. And when you do that, click Events. Once you click Events, what you're going to be able to do is you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience or Sunday worship experience. Today, you're going to see favor. You're going to see the word favor, seven cries from the cross favor. You're going to see our contact information, how we can serve you in any way. But more important, you're also going to see the scripture and a place for you to take notes. So if you want to go ahead and get there in your Bible to Luke 23 or do it digitally, we would love for you to do that. And as you get there, we're going to have some crowd participation because y'all know how I roll. I'm not up here by myself, so y'all got to help me, all right? So here's the crowd participation. Here's what I need. Right now, if you're doing it on your Bible app or if you're taking notes on a piece of paper, I want you to write how good of a person you are from 1 to 100. From the number 1 to 100, write how good of a person you are. Everybody's giving me the funny look, right? I'm sure we got some. How many 99s are in the room? I'm just curious. I just want to know. How good of a person. So go ahead. You've already looked to your neighbor to see how good they are. So go ahead and talk to the person on your right and your left and ask them what their number was, how good of a person they are from 1 to 100. They're talking everywhere. It's a huge just commotion everywhere. You should see it. You should see it. You should come hang out with us if you've never been here. So everybody, talk to the person. How many people they got with their numbers? 100, huh? No, I'm just kidding. Anybody got there? So let me ask you something. So how did it feel to ask that person to your right and your left how good of a person they were? Good, bad, or different? So I would say when you compare yourself to others, more than likely you either feel better about yourself or worse about yourself, right? Like when you start looking at that, how good of a person you are. So I'm going to go ahead and take another poll, crowd participation. And this is definitely, I need hands raised. Don't worry, we're not zooming in the camera on you or anything. Okay, so if you really want to know how good of a person you are, raise the hands. How many people have ever lied? All right, you can put that down. So there's one. So I count that into your score. Okay. How many people have ever been angry? Guys, we're at 100% all the way there. Okay. One more time. How many of us have ever put anything over God? Almost all of us, right? So 100%. So now how good of a person do you feel like? Right? Doesn't that just beat you up when you're like talking about that? Well, today I'm not going to beat you up. I want to talk to you about the favor of God, but to remind us, remind us that because of him, we get to be a part of something incredible. It's not about our goodness. It's not about our goodness that we get to do this, because quite honestly, all of us need help. So today, that's what I want to talk about. So we just are notified ourselves, and we put ourselves on notice. If that person had a higher goodness score than you, you're in the same boat, believe it or not, because all of us are real low with that goodness. So if you got your Bible today, I'm going to start where we're going to end, okay? So Luke 23, verse 42 and 43 is going to talk about this thing called favor. And it says this, if you have your Bible, it says, "Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" So you say, "Tyler, I don't see the word favor in there," but I would tell you the favor is getting to be with Jesus in paradise from a criminal is pretty, pretty good place to be. So today when we're talking about favor, I just want to tell you what favor is. I'm just going to define it right quick, and then we're going to pick back up in Luke 23. Favor is this. If you've ever wondered about favor, because when we look at favor, we try to equate it with goodness, don't we? We think favor has to do with goodness, and it's absolutely not that. God's favor is something completely different. God's favor is this. It's God's guarantee for provision to fulfill the purpose he created me for. I'm going to say that because it's not going to be on your screen. I'm going to say it one more time. Favor is God's guarantee for provision to fulfill the purpose he created me for. God's guarantee for provision to fulfill the purpose he created me for. That is what favor is. God's provision, his promise, his guarantee, his deposit, his guarantee that whatever he's created us to and called us for and made us for, that purpose he will provide for. Now, the thing is, when we're looking at our goodness, do we feel like he's providing for us in that moment in time when we start comparing ourselves? When we have the wrong definition of favor in our life, man, things can be totally, totally misunderstood. So, we're going to be back talking about this thing called favor, and we're actually going to pick up where we left off last week at Luke 23, verse 35. We started in a few verses before when it says Jesus was hanging on the cross, a criminal on his right, a criminal on his left, and they stripped him naked, beat him, hung him on the cross, and they're casting lots for his clothes. And the first thing he says wasn't dispatching angels, wasn't trying to throw something at them, wasn't pinching them because they didn't wear green and it was St. Patrick's Day. No, he said, "Father, forgive them." And we talked about the role of forgiveness in our life and why that matters. And I think that it's so important we see that Jesus modeled that even in the toughest trial. We had to have forgiveness. And I would tell you, personally, we all struggle with that. I struggle with that. I would tell you, if I had a forgiveness score, I definitely would be in the low numbers. But Jesus continues to work on me on that and reminds me of forgiveness, forgiveness. Well, today we're going to continue talking about favor as we pick up verse 35. And it says this, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him." So not only have they stripped him naked, hung him on the cross, took his clothes, casting lots for it, they're playing dice, they're playing craps for his clothes, basically. Now they're all making fun of him. It's crazy. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and they mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read this, "The King of the Jews." So if we really want to talk about favor in our life, I want to share with you three things about God's favor. And I can see Jesus modeling this so many times through this story of the cross. And so he's giving us a template to see God's favor because our view of favor is really different. We think it's God's goodness. We hear this thing a lot of times called prosperity gospel where you hear, hey, you're going to be a bajillionaire if you just give your life to Christ. And anybody who's really following Jesus will tell you, yes, you have hope in the midst of trial, but you have trial after trial after trial because that's what Jesus promised. But can we see God's favor through it? So the first thing I want to tell you about favor in this story that I see with Jesus on the cross is this. Number one thing you have to do to understand God's favor, which is God's guarantee for provision to fulfill the purpose he created me, created you for, is we got to frame our life with favor. Frame our life with favor, or if you want to take it personal, frame your life with favor. What I mean by this is Jesus at this moment of times, it says when he was on his earthly ministry, it said as he grew up as a teenager, he grew up in favor with God and in favor with man. And so many times in our life, we've got to have a perspective, a lens of favor, because if I'm Jesus right there, I'm naked, hung on a cross, murdered for something I didn't do. I have people making fun of me, pointing at me, telling me my position doesn't matter. And yet, he continues to go through with it because he understands what favor God has on him, what he's going to do. That's why I said, Paul talks about he went and saw the cross before him with joy and he went to the cross. And so if we want to frame our life with favor, I started thinking about how in the world practically does that happen? So I want to give you my example of how I can see life with favor, because so many times we forget that our life is full of favor. God has given so much favor to all of us. We just miss it so many times. So as I was getting out of high school and starting a career, right? I started a career and I started to work in college, so I didn't have to go into a ton of student loan debt. That way I could, so I worked full time and went to school. But I remember the first time I got promoted, all right? Like I remember that promotion coming. Because you know what came with that promotion? A benefits package. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? A benefits package? Like, I'm talking profit sharing. I'm talking insurance. Like, I could afford it. And I was so excited, like, that I could do that. I was telling all my friends in college how great it was that I had benefits. Like, you ain't got benefits. I got benefits. Like, I'm 19 years old. I got benefits. I got things. Like, finally, I feel like I've got some favor in my life. And the people that were my age were excited because they thought it was cool. But when I talked to people older than me, maybe 4 or 5 years, they were just kind of like, yeah, man, like, that's just normal. That's part of the package. Like, what do you mean? You worked without benefit? Yes,
I did. I didn't know it was minimum wage. I didn't know.
That was back, and you're going to laugh. Minimum wage was like 7 and a quarter. Now it's so much more than that. But I know people who worked for a lot less than that back when it was like maybe $3 or something. I was going to say, there may not have even been a minimum wage. But I was so excited about that, and it made me think about that when we look at God's favor and we look at following Jesus. Isn't that how it is sometimes? Because when we first give our life to Jesus, we're so excited. Like, we're so thankful for what he's done for us. We're so thankful for the blessing, and it just means something to us. Just like me getting that benefits package, that insurance, that retirement. Retirement's an option? Like, I had never even thought about that. Retirement? Like, I can retire one day? That's awesome. Like, now to a place where I'm self-employed, and I have to pay for my benefits, and I don't have a guaranteed paycheck kind of thing. Like, it's a little different. God was shaping me through that. But I started thinking about our walk with Christ that way. Because isn't it funny when we first give our life to Christ, how on fire we are? We got to tell everybody, don't we? Like, God is so faithful. God is blessing it. Like, do you know about this man called Jesus that lived a life I couldn't live, died the death that I deserve, but he gave me life, and he gave me life so that I could live it to the full? But then, as we go on in our walk, and somebody else tells us about how great Jesus is, don't we just say, just part of the package. Just part of the package, man. It's not that big of a deal. What Jesus has been reminding me as we go through our life and we walk through this is we got to frame our life with favor. We got to frame our life with favor. We've got to live a life that says, can you believe we get to do this? Because if I don't, I'm telling you right now, I'm usually angry, I'm usually bitter, and I'm usually lying to somebody, right? Like, I'm those things, and I'm an idol. I'm putting something else above God. But so many times, I don't feel like waking up in the morning and say, Jesus, I can't believe you let me do this. But if I'm framing my life with favor, like Jesus is, even right here on the cross, he's looking at God's favor and provision to get him through it. My question is, if you've ever struggled with God's favor, do you trust him in that? Do you trust him in that? Because when I look with favor and I see that my life is framed with favor, isn't my vocabulary a little different? Maybe you've been there. Maybe it's this. The vocabulary is this. If you, and this is me, so I'm guilty. I got both hands up. It is what it is. I can tell you with both hands up. If you hear me saying, story of my life, I'm not framing my life with favor. I'm not looking at God's favor. I'm looking at what's in front of me as an obstacle, as something that God's not blessing me with. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I think I have control of the situation, and I really don't. It's all up to God because it says, hey, the rain we just talked about, we receive your rain, which, by the way, haven't we had a lot here recently? I'm going into the ark business if anybody wants to join in with me. It'll be a great business venture. But it says in Proverbs that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so many times in our life where we get stuck with his favor and we say it's the story of my life, we forget who the author of our story is. I can tell you I'm guilty of that. What Jesus has been reminding me of through this is not only saying, can you believe we get to do this? But if my life is that bad, isn't it time I find a new author? And most of the time when my life is that and I can say the story of my life, you know who's trying to write my story? Me. Me. Not God. I'm not receiving his favor. I'm not trying to be at a place where he is writing the story of my life. I'm trying to stand in the way and control it. So if you're looking to frame your life with favor, I keep saying flavor. It's going to be a good day. With favor, I want to ask you, what's your vocabulary? How do you talk about people? Because if you learn about how, if you hear me and you see where I'm frustrated, you'll know when I'm frustrated. You can hear in my vocabulary the change of tone. But the thing is, so many times we think God's favor means blessing. And I would tell you right now, if I'm Jesus hanging on that cross, I'm definitely not feeling like I'm being blessed right now. I don't know about you, but if I'm standing there naked, taking on the entire sin and shame of the world, I'm not feeling blessed. And if I could write my own story, I would have been where Jesus was in the garden saying, if this cup could pass over me, if there's any other way, God, like, couldn't there be another cup? Aren't you got it hidden somewhere on the table? But he said, not your will, not my will, but your will be done, Father. So today, if you really want to experience God's favor, his provision for your life, his guarantee that he is going to provide for you for exactly what he made you for, you got to frame your life with favor. So how are you looking at your life? We're going to continue on. Number two, Luke 23, verse 39 through 40, says it this way. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. Imagine Jesus right there. Not only are the people in front of him making fun of him and hurling insults at him, now the guys who are hung on a cross just like he is are hurling insults at him and telling him, hey, aren't you who you say you are? Save yourself. Has anybody ever stuck there, know God's called you to something and everybody else wants to call it out in you and just be like, well, didn't you say God was going to make it happen? Didn't you say that? That's how I feel like Jesus is saying right there. Like he's getting picked on. He's getting beat up. He's getting beat down. But what I love here is it says the other criminal rebuked him. He said, don't you fear God since you are under the same sentence? So if you want to see God's favor in your life, not only do you have to frame your life with favor, you've got to open your eyes to opportunity. Open your eyes to opportunity. You see, I see two criminals on the cross here, and both of them have their eyes open to an opportunity. One criminal on one side says, hey, if you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. Because, like, I want to come down from this cross too. Like, if I want to come down from this cross, I know that I'm guilty. I know they found me guilty, and I deserve nothing but death. But right now, I just need you to come through in this situation. How many of us pray that way? Try to manipulate a miracle out of God, you know what I'm saying? Like, we think if we say the right words or do the right things or work really, really hard or thank God just enough, we can slide that little one blessing in there and hope he doesn't realize it. That's what one criminal's doing. But the other says, hey, do you see who you're in the presence of? Do you know? It's the very Son of God. And I wonder how many times when I walk across from someone that I'm angry at or someone that frustrates me to no end, that I don't realize that they're made in the image of God just like me.
whether they believe what I believe, whether they talk how I talk, whether they look how I look. They're made in his image just like me. And I get to be the opportunity to bear Christ's image to them just like they are God's image to me. And so I wonder in my life, will I look at all of those people like this one criminal who says, what can you do for me? Or will I show them who Jesus can be for them? I've got to open my eyes to opportunity. I think so many times when we talk about that, if you know anything about Tyler West, you know anything about me, if I have a college team, it's probably one. It's not anyone local. It's Florida State, right? Like, that's my squad. That's who I cheer for, win, lose, or draw. Like, that is the team that I love. Well, you may not have known this, but growing up, obviously, if anybody knew me, I was going to Florida State. So my senior year, I'll tell you about a trip. He's not in here right now, but my brother-in-law and I, Tim, went to Florida State my senior year. So when we talk about opening our eyes to opportunity, I'm going to explain this to you the best I can. So my senior year, we go to Florida State. We drive down, you know, everybody says, who drove the furthest? And of course, I did, from South Carolina. I drove the furthest. I was the one furthest. See, I'm not an English major. We drove the furthest, and we get there. And so they're showing you the school, and they're touring you around the school. And naturally, I peeled off to go to the football field and walked on it, even though I wasn't supposed to. And so on the process of going to the football field and going to the stadium, the starting quarterback for Florida State, his name was Chris Ricks. If you know anything about the Chris Ricks era, it was a rough era for Florida State. It was the beginning of the decline, if you will. However, he's walking past, and as he walks past, like, I just, like, stop. And I'm like, that's Chris Ricks, dude. Like, that's, and, like, Tim is, like, looking for the stadium. Like, he is hardcore trying to help me find the stadium, trying to find somebody to help me get in. Like, he's doing everything he can to serve me, to make this experience great. And, like, I stop, and in the presence of greatness is Chris Ricks right there. Like, I'm like, this is the starting quarterback. And he's just like, yeah, man, where's the stadium? Like, you know, he's walking around. And it makes me think, I wonder how many times we do that to Jesus every day. Because to me, I was in the presence of greatness. I was in the presence of something great, but yet Tim had no clue who it was. He was just trying to help me, and it wasn't his fault. He was trying to serve me. But to me, who I hold in high regard is who I say is great. And I wonder how many times Jesus just brings someone in our path and we don't have our eyes open to the opportunity of the greatness that's right in front of us. So much so, I will tell you, I did nothing to earn that trip to go to Florida State. Nothing. I only could receive it. I can only sit in the car seat and drive the way to Tallahassee and drive all the way back and get so excited, and I run into this person. Not only that, later in life, I got to go to an FCA talk, and I got to hear Bobby Bowden. Like, you know, that's a name, if you know anything about college football, you know Bobby Bowden. Like, that's a name you've heard. I got to see him at an FCA event. I remember going up. So Olivia was with me. So you can tell my sister and brother-in-law love me because they do the Florida State thing. They understand. If it's anything Florida State, we're going to get Tyler there. And I go, and I remember, as a 30-year-old man, Bobby Bowden standing there, and I'm shaking. And I'm shaking. And I shouldn't be. He's just a man. Like, it's Bobby Bowden. I had his book, Called to Coach. I had just finished reading it. It's a great book. And I stand up there, and you could get one thing signed. One thing signed. And so Olivia's like, well, I'm going to bring one thing. You can bring one thing. And so you'll get two things signed by him. And I stand up there, and I've got, like, three things. And I stand up there, and I lay him up on the table, and I'm like, maybe he'll let me. And sure enough, he says, son, I'll be glad to sign all of them. So he signs them all. He signs a football, signs a book, signs a hat, gets excited. And Olivia was taking care of me once again, someone serving me, but it made me think, how many times do I miss Jesus doing that in my life? He tries to give me favor because once again, that trip, I didn't do anything to earn it. It wasn't like I got good grades at school. It wasn't like I was doing great at work. It wasn't like I was just a stand-up good brother because I got a long way to go there. It wasn't like that. I just could receive the favor that was given to me. I wonder if we treat Jesus that way right now. Do we receive the favor he's given to us, or do we tell him what he's not doing for us? Because that's the difference. When we have our eyes open to opportunity, most of the time when we're trying to tell him how he should help us, like, shouldn't you save me from this cross if you are who you say you are? Or do we just realize the opportunity that's sitting right in front of us? Will we open our eyes to the greatness? Because here's the thing I want to tell you. If we're really honest, we're both of those criminals. We're one or the other. Both of us. Both of them. Because here's the thing. They're both guilty. They're both dying. They're both suffering. They're both in the need of a Savior. The difference is one left that cross transformed and stepped into eternity, and another never changed. And so my question is, if you have a relationship with Jesus and the world were to look at you, which criminal do they see? That's a heavy hitter, isn't it? That's what Jesus has been reminding me of, saying, Tyler, which one do they see? Because both of them need me, just like you do. And so my question is, which one are we? They're both bound. Their feet are nailed to the cross just like Jesus's is. They honestly can't do good works. It's not like they have a ton of time left. Like there's about 6 hours that they hung on that cross with Jesus. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, I can go change my life. I can go do this program. I can go to FPU every Thursday. Like I can do all these things. They didn't have much time. The difference is, would they receive the greatness and the favor of God from the Son of God, or would they rebuke him because of what he didn't do in their life? And I wonder, church, where I mess up, I can tell you, where I don't show the world, I want to rebuke God for the things he's not doing in my life at times. And I wonder, church, if that's what the world sees us as. And if the world does, why in the world would they want to have anything to do with Jesus? But if we want to experience the favor of God, we've got to be that criminal, even on the right-hand side, knowing that our works can't get us saved, knowing that we can't get any more favor from God by praying more, giving more, doing more, thanking Jesus more, manipulating more. We can't. We can only receive it. So I wonder if our eyes would be open to the opportunity around us. And here's where it would hit home to me and to you, hopefully. Is there an obstacle you're looking at right now that you're mad at God for? Or are you thanking him for the opportunity for him to show up in it? Because the thing about the obstacle is the favor of God was never meant for your or my name to be in shining lights. It's always meant for us to be a channel of blessing to the world, to show the world him. And so the question for me, is there an obstacle in your life? I don't have enough fingers and toes to want to count the obstacles in my life, right? I can list them all out. But every time I face one, I wonder, if I didn't have those obstacles, could I really tell people how Jesus came through? Or would I talk about the, well, here's how I did it. Because the pride in me says, well, here's how I did it. And the favor of God is this. He's reminding me that, hey, son, you've got a long way to go. So I wonder if we would have our eyes open, just like me to Chris Ricks, just like me to Bobby Bowden, who are simply men. Would we have our eyes open to God's favor in our life? We have our eyes open to the favor that we get to live in the greatest country in the world. We have the freedom to say what we want to say, to do what we have the freedom to go to work. We have the freedom to flip a switch and the lights come on. Do you know how much favor that is? We can switch from heat to AC. Praise God and amen from whom all blessed. We have a roof on our head. When it rains, we get to hear the tick, ting, tick, ting, tick, ting. If you got a tin roof, or you get to see the gutters overflowing, or you see the poor little dog that was walking, floating down the street, swimming, the poor thing. But whatever it is, like, how much favor has God given us? The thing is, what are we doing with it? Once we receive it, do we just rebuke him for it? Or are we thankful for it? I wonder where we are in that. Because one of the things I've shared with you that Jesus was reminding me of about my story and the obstacles in my story is, the one thing I notice about those criminals as well is God never asked them permission to hang them on the cross beside Jesus. He didn't go to them and say, hey, fellas, listen, I know you're going to be found guilty of this crime. Here's what I was thinking. My son's going to die, you know, about the same time you are, so I'm going to hang you on a cross beside him. Is that cool with you? And he didn't enter negotiations. He didn't see what was going on and ask their permission. He just wrote it in their story and asked them what faith they would have through it. One had faith through it. One just was angry, bitter, and was made mad because they missed out the opportunity for God's favor. Question is, how do we see Jesus? I wonder how many times the world's seen me as that other criminal. Probably more than I would admit. That's that low, low good person score. You know what I mean? Low, low good person score. But the thing that you and I have that's different from those criminals, we still have time by God's grace. We're here today. I can't tell you when your time is that you're going home to heaven, but I can tell you right now, It wasn't like it was a six-hour time frame where you're hanging on a cross next to the Son of God who's naked and beaten beyond recognition. Will you take advantage of God's favor in your life and see that he is using it to make you who he created you to be? Not who you want to be, who he made you to be. You want to talk about a fulfilled life? That's a fulfilled life. That's a fulfilled life. So let's go on and finish up this story with this third thing we're going to talk about when it comes to favor. Luke 23, verse 41 through 43. That same criminal who sees Jesus as the Son of God says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, beaten, bloody, murdered, naked, people throwing dice for his clothes, sneering at him, making fun of him, doing everything possible. This is what I love about Jesus, is if you'll just look for him and you'll see him, he'll talk right to you. He looks at that criminal and says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in paradise." The third thing you have to do when you look at God's favor is this: give yourself to obedience. This will make sense here in a minute, hopefully, if it's not right now. Give yourself to obedience. You've got to position yourself to receive God's favor by walking in obedience. Both of these criminals were in disobedience. Both of them. But yet, they both had an opportunity to have the right posture before the Son of God to receive God's favor. One positions himself in obedience and confesses that Jesus is Lord. Another is just angry because he won't throw him down off the cross so he can continue in his life of sin. So you have got to give yourself to obedience. Because here's the thing. Only Jesus can change your situation. And I can't promise you that it's going to change tomorrow, but I can promise you, you can walk through it with hope versus anger. And I'll tell you, every time I've been angry, I don't leave nothing but a wake of dead bodies around me, seriously. A wake of dead relationships, broken things, if it's all about me. But if it's all about Jesus, it's crazy. It's crazy when I'm obedient to what Jesus did. You see, it's all about the right posture. So I'm going to talk about sports again for a second, so hang in here with me. So playing football growing up, obviously. I mean, I was a running back. No. I played offensive line, obviously. I'm a big dude. And so one of the things they teach you on offensive line always, anytime you play sports, and you've heard this, and maybe even if you wrestled in high school or you did anything, low man always wins. The low man always wins. Like, that's the whole point. The low man always wins. But here's the thing. The low man may win, but the low man on the ground ain't going to make the tackle. So there's a way you have to have the right posture in what you do. And so when I was thinking about this and I have to give myself to obedience, I have to have a posture that is correct so that I could win the line of scrimmage to spring the running back for the play, to hold a pocket so the quarterback can throw the ball down the field and hopefully the receiver catches it, or for the quarterback to run. Whatever that looks like, I've got to give myself and put myself in the right posture. And that required obedience. That required form. That required repetition. That required practice day in, day out, doing the same thing over and over again, practicing myself, strengthening myself. And here's the thing I want to tell you about favor. The measure of favor you have in your life is the measure of your faith. And the more and more you practice, the more and more you're in the Word, the more and more you pray, the more and more you go through obstacles, the more and more you posture yourself under God's authority and God's Word, taking step by step of obedience that he's calling you to take, it's crazy what happens to the favor in your life. It's crazy. It's not about how much it is. It's not about the amount it is. It's about seeing God for who he is. And it's about seeing who he created you to be. And when I played that sport and the low man won and my posture was correct, the weight that I could carry was so much greater than being up high, than doing what only I wanted. Because I not only let myself down, I let my team down when I didn't have the right posture. And so my question is, wherever you are, what kind of posture do you have? Are you giving yourself to obedience? Because here's the thing that I realized for my life. When I look back, it was the seemingly small, insignificant steps that made the biggest impact. The small steps of obedience is how I got to live this faith-filled big life. Like, it was small steps of obedience that changed everything. It wasn't like I had this grandiose scheme and like I just sold you this bill of goods and told you about all this. No, no, no. It was seemingly small and significant steps. I was asking Jesus what he would have me do. He said, talk to that person. I was asking Jesus, how would you have me give to this? Hey, Jesus, how would you have me budget for this? Hey, Jesus, what would you call me to do? This. Tyler, here's the simple thing I want you to do. Love me and love others. A little step. I can love you, Lord, but others, I don't know. I'm working on that. I'm sure they say the same about me. Like, I'm working on that, right? Like, small steps. Getting up, diving in the Word, waking up, saying, God, I can't believe you let me do this today. I can't believe you've given me this day. Show me who I should serve. Show me who I should love. Small steps. Not this big, grandiose 45-minute prayer. If that's you, praise God he's gifted you with that. I don't have the attention span for it. I'm like a squirrel. Like, I just don't. I have to stand. I have to get up and say, God, thank you for this day and roll with it. So my thing is, for me and you, where I'm kind of getting at here for us is as we're giving ourselves to obedience, will we trust that Jesus has the right thing for us to be exactly who he created us to be, the provision we have, the favor we need, the thing that we need. So in other words, if God's called you to sing and lead worship, he's given you a voice to do so. Like me, no, sounding like a hound dog somewhere. That's not the voice he's given me for worship. If he's given you talent to play a musical instrument, more than likely he's providing the instrument for you to play in some way, shape, or form. If he's given you the gift to teach, more than likely he's provided students for you to pour into. He's provided a platform for you to walk on. He's provided something for you to do. Will we trust that that's God's favor in our life? Or will we just be mad about it? Oh, God, these people, right? Like, that's what it is. So many times, they're driving me insane. And we miss out on God's favor because we haven't framed our life with flavor. I've said it all day, flavor. KFC must be on my brain. I don't know what it is. Favor. We framed our life with favor. We framed our life with favor. Say, I did it again. Framed our life with favor. I don't know. We framed our life with favor, and that's God's favor because the Holy Spirit speaks to me through humor, so you're getting a little piece of that today, I believe. We've got our eyes open to the opportunities around us. And the thing is, we've given our life to obedience because that criminal, he gave his life to Jesus on that cross. And so many times we get frustrated about, I wonder, hey, how much he missed out on life because he didn't give his life to obedience earlier. If you want to live a life that's well-lived, give your life to obedience. Give your life to that small next step God's calling you to take. Because I wonder today, someone here needs to hear that. What if there's something locked in that small step of obedience that your eyes can't see but will make an eternal impact? Will you trust God for that? There's something in that little small next step. That's like, as a matter of fact, like I look back in the Old Testament, there was a small next step Abraham took, and he was the father of many nations. And all of a sudden, like I look at Moses, he took a small next step, and all of a sudden the Israelites are free. To look at David, he took a small next step toward a giant, and all of a sudden he's the king of Israel. When I look all the way through, I look at Ruth and Boaz, and Ruth took a small next step to him, and she went from the field to being in royalty, and she was redeemed. Like she all of a sudden had this moment. Like I look at all of these things in our life. I look at Jacob and Rebekah, and I look at the sons they have, and I look at Israel coming out of that. I look at all of these times, and I look at Mary and Joseph, who took what seemed like big next steps, but small next steps toward this cave to give birth to a baby that an angel told them was going to be the Son of God. And they continue to say, I don't know how I'm going to raise them. So if you got kids, trust me, they know about favor because did they ask you to eat? They just do it, right? Like, I don't have kids, so I know. I'm a child. I don't ask my mom to, can I eat? You just eat, right? Like, you have unmerited favor of God. But it started with a small next step of obedience. And so today, how I want to wrap up is this. If you look at the first letters of the things that I told you about, not flavor, it is the first letter, but hang in here with me. When we talk about the favor of God, I started thinking about this. And those letters are going to pop on the screen, and it made me think about this time of year. Usually in the spring and fall, don't we have those low clouds? We call it fog here. Usually if you're in the mountains, you can definitely get it. Those cool mornings, it's kind of humid outside. You have this fog. And that fog limits your visibility, doesn't it? It changes. It changes how you look at things. It changes your perspective. As a matter of fact, you're willing to take the next step. You're thankful that you have fog lights on your car, or you're thankful for the time of day you're at. And I started thinking about that because those are the first letters of everything I gave you today. Not flavor. Come on now. Frame your life with favor. Open your eyes to opportunity. Give your life to obedience. You see, the favor of God around us, that F-O-G, is like a fog that's constantly there. Inside this house today, we say the presence of God is like a pleasing aroma, and it fills this house, and we as Christians get to be that to everyone around us if we have a relationship with Him. And so today, I just want to ask you, what are you doing with a fog in your life? Are you mad about it? Or do you see how important it is? Because when you're in a moment of fog, it's all around you. There is no question whether your visibility is limited. There is no question whether it is impacting your life. So the question is, what are you doing with the favor of God in your life? Are you telling God what He needs to do for you? Are you just receiving who He says He is? Are you seeing all of the opportunities that He's laid out in front of you? That moment that He says, pray for that person. Sometimes I can be the weirdest thing in the world. But I can tell you, I've done it on a street, and it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Get to know stories of people. Just that little step of obedience. Those moments where you see that single mom at the grocery store waiting in line that's just trying to buy milk, and she's counting change. And God tells you right there to buy that milk. Because you don't know about the three kids she's got at home that she's just trying to provide for, working two jobs and trying to make the ends meet. Are you walking through that? And are you giving your life to obedience to do it when He's calling you to it? Because if we do that, we live a life that experiences the favor of God, that shows the world the favor of God. We live a life that shows others that God is our provision. And whatever He's created us to be, we can only be when we walk in that obedience, when we only open our eyes to it, and when we only have the faith to see it. So what are we doing with the favor of God in our life? Do we see the fog around us? Or are we just walking around angry about it? So I'll end where I started. How good of a person are you, 1 to 100? Let me tell you about me. I'm 0. Because without Jesus, He's the only 100 that could ever save me. I'm just a criminal on the cross, destined to die for my sin. There's nothing I can do to earn my way out of it. There's no way I can work my way out of it. Any goodness you see in me is by God's unmerited grace alone. God's grace. I'm a 0. So I don't know about you, but I wonder, do you see Jesus as not only your 100, but your completeness? He is your goodness. As a matter of fact, He's so good. He loves us enough that He came down to this earth to live the life we couldn't live. Then He went to that cross, died the death that we deserved. When all we could do is hang on a tree next to Him, He made a way to where He died for us. He died for our sins. We're all condemned to the same death those criminals were. The difference was, one on the left said, "Why won't you just save me right now and throw me off of this cross?" And the one on the right said, "You are the Son of God. Remember me in paradise." And because he confessed Jesus as Lord of his life, he was saved. So it's not about being a good person. It's not about living a life following Jesus. It's not about being a good person, because I want to tell you what, good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people do. And so my question is, which criminal are you? There is no in between. The only in between is Jesus. And who you say he is makes all the difference in your life. If you want to experience the favor of God, you've got to know who Jesus is and who you say Jesus is. Because like I said, unlike the thief, you and I still have time. So as we get ready to close today, I just want to ask you, who is Jesus? Romans 3, verse 20 through 22 says it this way when we talk about being a good person, because before Jesus came, the good people kept the law, which was impossible to keep alone. So Jesus came as the fulfillment of the law, and when the letter of the Romans were written, it says it this way in verse 20, "Therefore, no one shall be declared righteous." None of us are good. We're all liars, we're all angry, and we're all idolaters, and we need a way because of that. None of us can be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. It's not about praying. It's not about ceremonies. It's not about 12 steps. It's not about any of that. It's not about giving, serving, doing all you've got to do. Those are byproducts of obedience. That's all that is. That isn't going to get you any closer to heaven than anything else. Rather, through the law, here's what the law did. It just made us conscious that we are two criminals beside Jesus. The law made us aware of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. It all led to Jesus. And it says this: this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, as we come to the close of this today, this is why we do what we do. Those that have a relationship with Jesus understand that we are destined to die, and that the wages of our sin is death, and that there's no way that we can earn life, there's no way that we can get life, but the only thing we can do is receive Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, and have faith in him to have life. We realize that we're one of two criminals, so my question is today for you, which criminal are you? If you're the criminal that's rebuking Jesus, that's telling him everything he should do for you, I just want to offer an opportunity where you don't have to live a life like that anymore. You don't have to live a life carrying the weight of all your works, living the life of trying to be a good person, putting on a mask, being fake to everyone around you. You don't have to live that life anymore, because Jesus came so that you didn't have to live that life. And all you have to do is receive him as your Lord and Savior. All you've got to do is believe that he died and rose again on the third day and confess him as Lord of your life. It's that simple. You can only receive it. And so today, for those of you that are realizing for the first time that you are the criminal that's rebuking Jesus and has never received him as your Lord and Savior, here is your opportunity to experience the true favor of God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we say this prayer as a family for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time out loud. So please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death that I deserved on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day, so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, whether you're watching online or you're in this house, I'm about to count to three. And if it's the first time that you can say that you've given your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to take a small step of obedience and respond, because we want to celebrate with you. I'm counting to three. One, two, three. If that's you, if you're watching online or you're in this house right now and you've given your life to Jesus for the first time, there's going to be a hand that raises online. If you're watching on Facebook, comment. If you're watching on YouTube or you're watching on Periscope, wherever you're watching us, if you're listening by podcast, please let us know at hello@thevine.tv. We want to celebrate with you, because this may seem like a small next step, but I want to tell you, you were never meant to take it alone. There are people who want to walk with you on this journey and celebrate with you all that Jesus wants to do in your life. And for everyone else here today, as we get ready to worship here in just a moment, I just want us to be reminded how much we need Jesus in our life. As we take this moment of worship, I wonder if we would see the favor of God in our life and realize maybe we've forgotten that we were that criminal on a cross, condemned to death because of our sin, with no way out, in need of a Savior, and the only hope that we ever had was in Christ Jesus. I pray that in this song, Jesus reminds us of that. And whatever step of obedience he's calling us to take to experience his favor, no matter how small it seems, I pray that we would have boldness today to do it. So after I get through praying, I'm going to ask you to stand for our final song of worship. Dear Jesus, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth and living a life we couldn't live and making a way when all that we had was death and destruction that we were guaranteed. But because of you, we can experience God's favor, his provision, to be all that you created us to be. So today, Jesus, I pray that you would remind us how much we need you. But you would remind us, no matter what obstacle we're walking through, we're not walking through it alone. Jesus, I pray that we would open our eyes to the opportunities you've placed around us. I pray that we would see your favor in everything that we do. In Jesus, I pray whatever step of obedience you've called us to take today, that we would take it. Jesus, we can't believe you let us do this. We pray that your name would get all the fame. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Please stand.
All right. Look at somebody around you and say, where's your fog? Where's your fog? Let them know. Your favor of God, right? So go ahead and get your arm around somebody here at the end. You know, we pray as a family, and I'm so thankful that we get to do that, to remind that we're not alone. I love that about our church family. I love that we're not afraid to take small next steps, whatever that looks like. The small next step was setting up a gym every week to prepare for Jesus to do what only he can do. It's so amazing. I can't believe that we get to do this. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, for being here, for each and every one of you that puts up with me every week. That is God's grace that you have not locked me in the trailer and left me out to fend for my own self. That is God's grace, so I'm thankful for that. So as I pray right here, I just pray that whatever small next step God's given us to take, that we take it. And I also pray that maybe it's just waking up in the morning and say, Jesus, I can't believe you've given me today. Show me what you would have me do. The days that I do that, they are so fulfilling. But the days that I say, okay, Jesus, here's the thing I need you to do for me today. Like, I need you to get all this done. Got a long list of things, right? Those are usually the ones that I end up the most empty and the most spinning my wheels. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray and I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, for this day. Dear Jesus, thank you again for all that you've done. God, in this moment, I pray that we would just clearly hear you. I pray that we would feel your favor by having our eyes open, Jesus. I pray that that obedience you've called us to, we would see that the measure of our faith is the measure of favor. Dear God, that we see that your favor is all around us, and your favor isn't in how big a house we have or how many cars we drive or the clothes we wear or where we go to school or the job that we have. The favor is that we get to be with you in paradise. We get to be with you for eternity. This world can never, never, never give us anything compared to that. So Jesus, today I pray that small next step we would be bold enough to take. I pray that we would see you like never before, Jesus, and I pray that we would lift your name high like never before. Jesus, many of us are dealing with obstacles right now. I pray that we would see you through them and that we would see that you are with us no matter what they look like. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this week. We thank you for this opportunity. And we thank you that you came and made a way for us. We love you, Lord. It's your name we pray. Amen. Come hang out with us again next week as we continue Seven Cries from the Cross. Have an awesome week.